talk some hardball right now with ESPN's Jason Stark. Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, man. Happy spring training to you.
Yeah, same to you. Now, where's your first spring stop?
I'm going to be zigzagging around the state pretty good. I'm going to see Jonathan Papelbon in Clearwater tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to see the Cardinals on Sunday in Jupiter and the Braves on Monday in Disney. And then await further developments.
Await for developments. It's all good. Hey, just some thoughts about Gary Carter, the Hall of Famer. I always think of that warm smile on his face and his passion for playing the game.
Yeah, I've really been saddened about this. We knew it was coming. We knew Gary wasn't doing well, but it still breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, just what a wonderful guy. You've heard for the last 24 hours, just one person after another talk about the smile and the warmth, and that was what I remember about Gary Carter. Just a genuine, friendly person who related to human beings of all sizes and shapes, and you know, was an underrated player. I just don't understand to this day why it took this guy 6 ballots to get into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly one of the 8 or 10 greatest catchers who ever lived, and I think you could argue was the greatest catcher of his generation. You stack him up against Carlton Fisk. Maybe Carlton Fisk's career went on longer, but I would say Gary Carter was better.
Yeah, we've been having a discussion all day about
maybe the Montreal years too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get lost up there a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what it was exactly that. There must have been some secret law that was passed that word of all exploits of players playing in Montreal were blocked at the border, because Tim Raines has gone through the same thing. Another great player that nobody seems to realize was actually as great as he was.
Do you think anything has to do with the fact of, you know, him playing or being a catcher? Because we know they're not going to play as many games statistically. I mean, he should be related to or regarded, I guess, or up against some of the other catchers, whereas we were just talking about the Football Hall of Fame, which Scott votes on, and many people upset about certain players not getting in, and they're compared to football players as a whole instead of maybe their peers that played the same position.
I'm really not sure what it was. I mean, Gary Carter did play in New York. He started 8 All-Star games. Clearly that people were aware that what a great player he was. And you know, the one thing that they used to tell me when I asked around about this was that, look, his career did kind of come to a screeching halt as he got into his early to mid-30s. And when he went to L.A. and San Francisco, he really wasn't the same player. And, you know, sometimes it's that last memory that voters have of a guy that sticks in their minds. And you know, if you're covering the NL West, you didn't see a lot of Gary Carter in the NL East. And then, you know, the guy you saw wasn't that player by the time he got in front of your eyes. So that's what it seemed like it was. But, I mean, if you go back and look at Gary Carter's voting history, right, Carlton Fisk breezes into the Hall of Fame on the second ballot. You know what percent of the vote Gary Carter got in the second ballot? How about 33.8%?
Ouch. Ouch. Didn't realize that. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Jason Stark with us, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN on the Al Packer Ford Hotline. Well, with the news that Tim Wakefield, I guess, is hanging up the knuckleball, I think of Wilbur Wood and the Necros and Charlie Huff and all the knuckleballers that were around for years. We're running out of that pitch, aren't we? Has the radar gun done away with the knuckleballers?
we're just out of Necros. Right?
Yeah. That's
right.
The
problem. you know, we've got R.A. Dickey.
I'm going to miss it.
Matt Kilimanjaro and, you know, throwing flutter balls. But you're right, there aren't a lot of knuckleballers around. And it is kind of hard to understand why. I think that just, you know, teams are afraid of guys who throw the baseball like
and
that.
And catchers are afraid.
That too. And, we do have a 49-year-old Jamie Moyer.
Yeah, that's
Rockies
a great story.
Camp,
yeah,
trying to be the third non-knuckleballer in history to throw a pitch at age 49 if he makes the team. And
who else? Who are the other two? Satchel in there?
Okay, well, here's the interesting thing about this is, all right, one of the two guys was Satchel, and that was a publicity stunt when he made that
one-day
comeback at age 59. And the other was a spitballer, Jack Quinn, who You know, they banned the spitball, but cheating. They allowed everybody who threw it to keep going.
Okay, he was grandfathered.
and so those were the only two guys, spitball and a publicity stunt. And now you get Jamie Moyer trying to keep the tradition of soft tossing alive.
Talking to Jason Stark here on the Alpacker Ford Hotline. Now, we've been talking about the Orioles and some of the moves they made, and Scott was a big fan of trying to get Koji Uehara back, and it looks like maybe the A's are mixed in there. Are you hearing anything on that front?
It doesn't sound like he's coming back to Baltimore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It certainly sounds like he's going to wind up in Oakland.
He got the wrong letter he wanted.
Jason, the only reason I wanted him, I said he's the only guy in Major League Baseball that keeps saying he wants to go to Baltimore. He actually wanted to come here. He turned down, I guess he had a no-trade clause, and he voided a trade to Toronto, and he kept saying he wanted to come back to Baltimore. I said, you got to bring that guy back.
Wait, there's got to be somebody else.
I haven't heard him.
Hold on, I'm thinking.
Keep thinking.
I'll get back to you on this.
Yeah, get back to me on that one.
Right.
But the moves that the Orioles have made just regarding some of the – I don't understand them, first off. They're doing a total overhaul of the bullpen, a ton of arms there. They've signed some foreign ball players, hoping that they catch lightning in a bottle there. But your kind of take – I hate asking about it, putting you on the spot, but we are in Baltimore, and I think fans want to know.
Yeah. I mean, don't the Orioles have to finish last? It's sad to be sitting here the day before spring training and already know kind of where this is leading.
Yeah, it is.
But – you know, when you change regimes, you get a whole different philosophy about how to go about things. And I mean, I don't think that this what you're looking at is a team that's built to win this year, or is even pointing toward winning this year. They're going to play. They're going to open the gates. But you know, Dan Duquette is thinking long haul. So this is not one of those years to dream about 500. It'll be kind of fun to see Chen, the guy from Korea, because I've heard good things about him, very intriguing. And then it'll be kind of interesting to see who they wind up dealing in July. And outside of that, you tell me what the intrigue is here.
Yeah, opening day, and then catch you next year, probably.
Well, yeah. One of these years. My mother-in-law is a huge Orioles fan, and, you know, I saw her a week or so ago, and she said, how are the Orioles going to be? And I said, well, we had a big baseball meeting at ESPN the day before, and I said, well, I'm going to sum up the entire conversation about the Orioles. The person leading the meeting said, does anybody in the room think the Orioles are not going to finish last? We all kind of looked at each other, and he said, okay, then.
Next question, right? Or next topic, right?
Yeah,
move on.
So.
Hey, what about the Red Sox? It looks like Crawford's going to miss some time early in the season. And I didn't get into the story, but I saw the headline where Bobby Valentine said, just some players are you don't grasp change real well. What's going on there?
I don't know if the Red Sox are going to be the best team in baseball or finish fourth. And neither outcome would surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're going to score a ton of runs, but you know, if I knew what Carl Crawford was going to be capable of coming off a wrist surgery, it'd be a lot easier to project. If I knew what anybody in that pitching staff had in store for us, it'd be a lot easier to project. Do we have a question about is there any significant member of that rotation or even the bullpen that we don't have some question about?
Yeah, well, Lester, you would hope there's questions there. Yeah.
Yeah, a messy finish.
He stepped back, yeah.
And they're just issues up and down that staff. And then I'm not sure, how are they going to react to Bobby? Mm-hmm. Life is going to be very different than what they were used to under Terry Francona.
Talking to Jason Stark here on the Alpacker Ford Hotline. And Jason, get your take on the AL West, because, you know, so much made of the AL East. Interesting to see what Texas and of course, what Anaheim or whatever, I almost refuse to call them the Los Angeles Angels, because the Angels, we'll just say that. With the three starters that they have and the addition of Albert Pujols, this is going to be a team to reckon with if everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, I would pick Texas in that division, but for this spring training preview that I wrote for today, I polled 20 people around baseball, and the Angels got more votes for most improved team in the American League than anyone else. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. When you go out and sign Albert, he's a franchise changer. And C.J. Wilson, you add him to Weaver and Herron and Santana. I mean,
it's pretty good,
is that front four in that rotation.
And then you get Kendry Morales back too, right?
If Kendrys Morales is healthy, if he's capable of being the guy he was before he got hurt, then they've got a chance to do some big, big things. I like the upside of the Rangers more than maybe any other team in baseball. But the Angels, if they get the kind of year that they could potentially get out of the guys we've talked about, and then you add in Mike Trout, that's a win the World Series roster potentially.
Off the field, what are you hearing? Who's going to own the Dodgers eventually when they get this thing done?
Well, there's a lot of buzzing about the Magic Johnson Stan Kasten group, but we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be an odd process. We've still got a little more time. They're going to pare down these groups and then send them to Major League Baseball to be cleared. And once the remaining four or five groups are cleared, then the only person who really knows is Frank McCourt. The price is going to be so high that even the bankruptcy judge is not going to have a big say in this. It's just going to be what Frank wants to do.
Mm.
And so only Frank McCourt knows for sure who's going to own the Dodgers, not me or you.
Is it your guess when that sale is complete, then the Dodgers are going to be in pretty
good
shape?
They're hoping to have an owner chosen by opening day, April 6th. But I don't know when the owner will actually be in place. They would like that process to take 30 days or so. That's just not realistic. Sometime in mid-season, if all goes well.
All right. Jason, tell the listeners where they can find all your good spring training stuff, what you're writing, and where they can find it.
Well, if you go to the baseball page, the MLB page at ESPN.com, mm-hmm. you can find my big spring training preview. And then I'll be cranking out spring training columns and blogs on a regular basis once we start assembling under the palm trees tomorrow. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jason St. It's Jason with a Y, JaysonST.
Jason, thanks for the visit. Enjoy your spring baseball.
I enjoyed it, man. Thanks.
Thank you. Jason Stark from ESPN with us here on The Fan.